This morning we are going to be looking at the concept of being prepared, preparation. We see a baseball player on the field, he gets a home run, or we see someone down in center field and he catches a fly ball that looks as though it would be impossible to catch. And we see on the stage perhaps a musician playing the violin. And we say, well, how simple and how easy. But we don't understand, we don't know, and we don't appreciate the many, many hours of preparation that went into preparing for that ball game, preparing to catch that ball, preparing to hit the ball, preparing to play the violin. The motto of the Boy Scouts is, be prepared. Well, you know, the Bible has quite a bit to say about preparation, being prepared. And one of the days of the week, in fact, is identified as the day of preparation. We have two days of the week that are given names. The one is the Sabbath, which we just read about in the Scripture this morning with Brother Jerry. And the other is the preparation day. The other days are numbered. So this morning we want to focus a bit on the purpose of a preparation day. We know the purpose of the Sabbath day. We know that it is a memorial of God's creation. We know that it is a time for rest. We know that it's a time for spiritual renewal. And we also need to understand why God made a day of preparation, just as surely as He made a day called the Sabbath. I'd like for us to start by turning to Mark chapter 15, and this is the chapter in which the death of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, is described by the Apostle Mark. Mark chapter 15, and we're going to be picking selected verses from this that will appropriately fit our topic. Verse 24, first, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now dropping down to verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And then verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, some translations say the preparation day. Sometimes the Bible simply calls Friday or the preparation day the preparation. Sometimes it will use the word day as well. Here Mark is simply using the preparation. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also wanted to won for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus, asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, couldn't believe that Christ had died already. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead, that is, if he was already dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, laid him in the sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulchre. Now, coming down to chapter 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And then verse 13, and they went and told unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So here in this account, we see the importance to the Christian community of the preparation day. Verse 42 again, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly to Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. So we know that the body was not to be hung, was not to be left on the cross over the Sabbath. We also know that later the women would come Sunday morning to embalm with spices, embalm the body of Christ. So the preparation day was always a day in which one would prepare for the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath day. And we see here in this account that the preparation day was indeed still honored here at the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, we find in the Old Testament also the preparation day being spoken about. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 15, verse 13, we have the Sabbath spoken about, and also an indication that the preparation day was to be used for preparing for that Sabbath day. Nehemiah 15, 13. Nehemiah here is calling into question the activities of some of the Jews who are purportedly Sabbath keepers. And they're doing things on the Sabbath that ought not to be done. And the prophet Nehemiah is bringing this to their attention. And he says, you should not be treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. There is a time for this kind of activity, for selling provisions, for commercial exchange, for labor. The Lord has given us 6 days to do our labor and to carry on our commercial endeavors. But he says the seventh day is his. And he doesn't want us engaging in any kind of work or any kind of commercial endeavor. We do know that from the New Testament, Christ said that there are certain types of work that are appropriate on the Sabbath day. For example, the Scripture recognizes a variety of emergency work, such as rescuing animals that are trapped. In Luke 14:5, we know that Christ approved of getting the ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. Picking food to eat immediately. The disciples and Christ were walking through the wheat field, and they were pulling grains of wheat and eating these grains of wheat. The Pharisees criticized them for doing this, and Christ approved it. That's in Matthew 12. And then we also know that the Savior made clay as a part of his healing process of a blind man, and he healed this blind man on the Sabbath. So we know that medical work, we know that such work as getting animals out of situations, emergency situations, these are all approved types of emergency work on the Sabbath. However, we are given very clear instruction that the Sabbath day is not to be used as any other day. We are to keep it holy, and there are certain types of work that we are not to use at all. I'd like for us to turn to Exodus chapter 16, and we can see here a clear model, a clear example of how the Lord expected His people to keep the Sabbath day. Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. So they, of course, have been freed from Egyptian slavery. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said, "Why did you bring us out here? Why is God taking us into this wilderness where we will die? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have water. What are we going to do?" The children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God that we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this people assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Notice this. The one proof that is mentioned specifically here is the proof of whether or not one will obey the fourth commandment, God's Sabbath. I'm going to use this as a proof to prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Same test is made today. "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare." There's the preparation day. The sixth day is called the preparation day. "On the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." And so God says to Moses, tell the people on Friday, on the preparation day, that they're to gather twice as much as they do every other day. Why? Because they're going to be eating for Friday, and they're also going to be eating for Sabbath. So they are gathering for 2 days. Verse 6, "And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning shall ye see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. What are we that you murmur against us?" And God says, your murmurings are not against Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron are simply carrying out my instructions. Your murmurings are against me. So when we rebel against God, and when we say, "God, why do you want me to do this or that or something else, or refrain from doing this, that, or something else?" We're murmuring against God Himself. Verse 8, "And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." You know, if we complain enough to the Lord, apparently the Lord will say, okay, if this is what you absolutely demand, I will give it to you. And you're going to suffer the consequences. You've asked for it, I'm going to give it to you. Verse 9, "And Moses spoke unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." Moses tells Aaron to go tell the people. Apparently Aaron had a good voice, a strong voice. He spoke well before a crowd. And you remember, this is one reason Moses said to God, "Don't call me, I can't speak." And God said, "I'll give you Aaron, let him speak for you." Verse 10, "It came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared unto the cloud, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying," God speaks directly to Moses from the cloud, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." I'm going to prove to these people once and for all that I am God, that I am in full control. 13, "And it came to pass that even the quails came up, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." So God performs this miracle, sending heaven food, heavenly food from the sky, to meet the nutritional needs of these people. That is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it for it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. And an omer is, two omers are about a half gallon, I understand. So, eating an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take you every man for them which are in his tents. The children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. That is, gather as much as you think your family is going to need. Don't gather more than you need, but gather what you need. 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating, that is, according to the family's need. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. Remember, God said, I want you to gather enough for one day. Don't try to take it over till tomorrow. Enough for one day, for you and your family. And some people didn't believe. They said, suppose God doesn't send us some tomorrow. We'll store up some and be prepared for that. So they did, and it stank, it bred worms, it spoiled. 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, preparation day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord, bake that which ye shall bake today, and seed that, or bake or broil, that which ye shall seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So some of the leaders came to Moses and said, some of these people are gathering twice as much as they should. This is Friday, the preparation day. Moses said, that's fine. This is God's instruction. He's told us to do that. So let's see what happens. 24. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses had, and it did not stink. Remember, if on a Monday, for example, they would gather twice as much, next day it would be rotten. It would stink. It would have worms. But the miracle here is that on Friday, the preparation day, when they would gather twice as much, on the Sabbath day, the food, the manna, was completely fresh. Neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. You're not going to find it in the field on the Sabbath, so gather twice as much on Friday. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. We still have unbelievers. There were people who still did not trust God. God had been sending the manna every morning on a regular basis, but there were some who didn't trust Him. And on the Sabbath, they didn't, apparently on Friday, they didn't gather twice as much as they should have, as they had been instructed to do. So they go out on Sabbath morning to gather their food. But they found none. 28, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? That question is still being asked us today, isn't it? How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, with the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. I can imagine it tasted like candy. Coriander seed with honey. Can you imagine how tasty that was? And it obviously was very nutritious. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer. Now, an omer, as I said, I think it's about 2 quarts, I believe it is. An omer is 2 quarts. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. I want you to save some of this. And miraculously, it's going to be fresh. It's not going to spoil. And I want you to gather about 2 quarts of this and save it for posterity. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, put an omer of manna therein, lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The testimony is sometimes called the Ark of the Covenant, and so it was placed near the Ark of the Covenant. 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. God performed this miracle for 40 years. Until they came to a land inhabited, they did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. There's so much in this chapter. Not only is the importance of the Sabbath emphasized, not only is the importance of obedience emphasized. In fact, we just read that the Sabbath is going to be a test of those who will follow and those who will not. But it also shows the importance of the preparation day. Some wanted to ignore the preparation day. They wanted to go out on the Sabbath and do their collecting of their food just as they did on every other day of the week. But we know that the Sabbath day was to be a special day, was to be a commemorative day of the creation of the world. And God wanted the people to realize that that was His time. 1/7 of the week is His time. And He tells us how He wants us to use this time, this 1/7 of the week. And we're thankful that most of the people obeyed. There were some that didn't, but most of them did obey. And we know that the Lord performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Not only by providing food, but by providing water, by providing clothing and shoes that never wore out. How marvelous a Savior, how marvelous a Creator we have. And so this morning, as we here in the 21st century look back to the time of Moses and Aaron, we ask ourselves, is there anything that is relevant to today? Is this simply history, or is this something that has instruction for us here today? Well, I believe everything in the Bible has been written, some of which is, of course, for history's sake. But I think everything in the Bible is written for our instruction. It's written for us as a guide. It's written for us as a model. And it's written for us as a roadmap for the Christian who is living in this world of sin and this world of temptation. And so as we think about the importance of the Sabbath, the importance of the preparation day, preparing on preparation day all the food that we need, preparing for whatever we're going to be needing on the Sabbath, this is a part of our worship process. You may say, well, Pastor, can you give us a specific example? Well, I don't know your examples and I don't know your life, but I will give you an example from my life, which I know. Yesterday afternoon, Friday afternoon, I said to Celia, I'm going to check the gas in the car, see if I have gas. We have gas enough for tomorrow. I looked at the gas needle and I said, no, we're not going to have enough. So I had to get the keys, and got in the car, went up, got the gas, and came back and prepared for our travel needs on the Sabbath day. So this is definitely instruction that we can apply today. The principles are there. Principles that God would have us follow, principles that God still calls upon us to follow today. There was a young girl in school. She was asked to write a poem. One of the assignments was for the student to write a poem. And this girl, by the name of Virgia, V-E-R-J-A, decided she was going to write her poem on preparing for life by obeying her parents. So many young people are rebellious. They don't want to listen to mom and dad. Mom and dad don't know anything. We know it all. But Virgia says no. In her poem, she says, we young people need to listen to our parents. This is how she puts it. So you have to wash the dishes. Why? Because mom said, now either you can do it now or you can go straight to bed. No, not straight to bed. This may offend someone, but that kid should get spanked so that he'll regret what he has done. Mom will always love you, since love isn't a prize you have to earn, but she is preparing you for the future, when life will require you, and she puts this in caps, to do what you're told to do and learn. Well, the dishes are still waiting, and Mom has told you to wash them and put them away. Now, you already read my post, so, "Yes, Mama, I'm coming," are the perfect words to say. I had to learn these rules, and I hope you other kids can too, because I am absolutely positive sure that your parents will thank you. Signed, Virgia. And I read this, I said, well, you know, there's such a wonderful lesson in this little poem. Here this child, she doesn't give her age, I assume she's maybe 8, 9, 10, something like that. She has learned already at this young age the importance of obeying Mom and Dad. Mom says, do the dishes. Yes, Mom, and go do the dishes. And so, when Dad, our Heavenly Father, says, I want you to prepare for the Sabbath by doing this, this, and this, so you don't have to do this, this, and this on the Sabbath, then we need to be like Virgin, and we need to say, yes, Dad, yes, Father, I understand. This is what you want, and I want to make you happy. May the Lord give us the grace and the wisdom and the strength to resist temptation and to use the preparation day as He intended it, to prepare for the Sabbath day. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're thankful that you have given us the preparation day as well as the Sabbath. We ask that you will give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us direction as we apply the principles that we have learned this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us and direct our paths. We are thankful for each precious soul that's present this morning. Father, we have come into your presence to worship you, acknowledge you as our Father, our Creator, acknowledge you as our Savior. So accept us, forgive us, cleanse us, and clothe us in the righteousness of Jesus is our prayer this morning. In His name we pray. Amen.